For more great content, make sure you follow 717 Sports Media on all your podcast listening platforms. Also follow us on social media, on Twitter at 717_sports, Facebook and Instagram at 717 Sports Media. We're also checking on our website daily for your daily news and sports videos at 717sportsmedia.com.
I thought that was an excellent day of college football. I didn't have a lot going on. I kind of watched a lot of college football on Saturday. Not a lot of upsets, but a lot of close calls that went down to the wire. Impressive gains for sure, and lots of separation, for some teams. And then, some teams like Ohio State, Michigan hung on, where they looked like they both could lose at one point. Georgia kind of struggled a little bit. They hung on. What'd you think of the overall weekend with Tennessee losing? But the rest kind of hang. TCU could have lost. They hung on. So you had a lot of like kind of up and down games. But, the big boys besides Tennessee won.
Yeah. You know what, Coach? You know, we came into this week. We thought, not the greatest slate of games. And once again, college football does not disappoint. I think we were both kind of had our heads buried in the TV there watching some of these finishes and, the Michigan. Obviously, they came through with last second field goal. Same with, TCU, which, I thought they were going to go down after, they kind of, they gave up that touchdown with about 2 minutes to go. And Tennessee just getting absolutely
bull raced.
Oh, my goodness. They're.
Wait, hang on a second. I think South Carolina just scored again.
Yeah. I mean, they better be worried about a New Year's Day game now. Right, I mean, they might not even get that.
If they beat Vanderbilt, they're going to make a New Year's Six.
I'll tell you why.
What I've been reading is they're a lock to make New Year's Six.
Okay.
Because they're going to be high ranked enough. So look, go beat Vanderbilt.
Will they?
I think they. I mean, Vanderbilt's not looking too shabby right now. But
remember, Hooker's out. No, I mean.
I felt so bad for Hendon Hooker.
I do too. I mean, yeah. He's out. Yeah. I mean,
that kills his draft stock too. Because now you look at, he's not going to be able to go, I think that the combine and stuff like that would have been huge for him to kind of improve his draft stock. I think that's going to hurt him a little bit. I don't think he was a first-round pick. I'm saying, people are saying second or third. He could drop to the fourth or fifth now because he's not going to be able to throw, at the combine and stuff.
Yeah, I could even see him dropping probably six or seven. I mean, somebody will take a flyer on him then. I mean, his best case would probably be undrafted, and he can kind of pick where he goes.
So, guys, we got an absolutely loaded podcast. We started talking about that. We have two guests. I've never done this. Last year started the show, never done this. We got two guests on the show. We have our picks, and we have much more. We're going to have Jonah Booker of Bucknuts going to come on, break down the Ohio State angle. And I got a friend of mine, Steve Davarelli, longtime sports writer, big-time Michigan fan. He's going to come on here. He grew up in Michigan, so he's going to give us a little insight on Michigan. So we got two guests. So however, first guest coming on in a minute. But, yeah, let's get into that. So South Carolina won 63, Tennessee 38. I watched a lot of this. I gave this the main screen because I just wanted to see if Tennessee could come back. And, it's crazy. College football is crazy, Clark. The week before, Florida beat South Carolina 38-6, right? Okay. Spencer Rattler was 18 of 36 for 145 yards.
Looked terrible.
Then he goes and plays Tennessee, and Spencer Rattler goes 30 of 47, 438 yards, 6 touchdown passes. How did that happen?
He looked like that big-time recruit that Oklahoma had. And let's be honest, he played well for a large part of that Oklahoma season. That's kind of what he looked like there. I mean, it was almost – it looked like a completely different team. I mean, they didn't – I've watched them play three or four times this season, and they didn't even – it's almost like they were like, all right, well, there's no way we can beat Tennessee and score the points the way we're playing. Let's open it up. and they did, and he just looked. Could you imagine if he would play like that all season? They may be in Tennessee's position, and not you know, like I've never seen coach. I've never seen like we've seen teams like you know pick sixes and fumble recoveries, punt returns, punt blocks. We've seen all kinds of shit happen in college football. But he threw six touchdown passes, and their offense looked like the best offense in the country.
Yeah, after the week before, not doing crap.
Coach, the whole season.
Even with that great game, they're still only 122nd in total offense.
His stats going in. Can you look up the stats? They're like he had like 8 touchdowns and like 9 picks. It wasn't like he was like.
Oh, I agree.
It wasn't like he was like 20 touchdowns and
even with that great game, he's only got 14 touchdowns, 9 picks.
He was 8-9 going into that game.
8 touchdowns, 9 picks going into that game.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, it was, and I loved it. It was a blow. I kept watching it probably longer than I should have just because I was like, it was mesmerizing because you saw Tennessee play so well all year. And I know their defense, but the defense has been playing better, but like, It happens. And like, I'm not down on Tennessee. They've had a good year and everybody wants to call them losers and all this. They had a good year. I know it's disappointing, but go beat Vandy, get the 10-2 and be happy. You know, go play in the New Year's Six Bowl and be happy. Still a good year. It's only year two. Jimbo's in year six. Look at Jimbo in year six.
Yeah, we might have to have Rick back on, especially if they lose to Vanderbilt. I'd like to see what his thoughts are. All right, I get year two. You know, looking at the games we're going to talk about, we're not really talking about any of these teams, so I am going to bring this up. So first-year head coaches, Sonny Dykes. Where's he got his team at, Coach?
11-0.
Might get in that Final Four. I hate to say this, Brian Kelly, first year. 39 scholarship players.
He's got them playing well.
Might make the Final Four.
Yeah, they could.
Right?
I mean, they're right there. They're one of the seven teams that still can make it.
And they're 92. And then out there in USC, your boy, Lincoln Riley, where's he got his team at?
They're number 5 in the country.
All these teams didn't win more than 6 games last year. And these head coaches had their teams playing, potentially going down the last couple weeks of the season, right? I mean, there's only 3 weeks left for a college football national championship. It's all about coaching. You get the right coach.
I'm a big recruiting guy, but it doesn't matter if you can't coach them up. And Jimbo recruited, but he can't coach them up. And look what Lincoln Riley has done. They were horrible last year. They go out, and I know their defense isn't great yet, but at least they beat UCLA, got that signature win, 48-45. And they were like, 4-8 last year? They went from 4-8 to what are they now, 10-1?
Coach, TCU has been a dumpster fire the last 2 years. They've been terrible.
And Dykes, too, Sonny Dykes has done a great job there.
And then LSU. I mean, LSU won 6 games last year. And the way Coach O, how he left that program, everybody thought it could take 2-3 years. He's got him in the SEC championship game.
But and I think here's what I'll think. I think USC and LSU did a great job dipping in the transfer portal, and I think that helps. But you're right; they both did a great job, and you know they both got quarterbacks in the transfer portal. You always say quarterbacks, right? You know, I know Caleb Williams is a lot better than Jaden Daniels, but Jaden Daniels been a steadying. Like he's a steadying force for them, you know, like after Burrow left, they haven't really had a quarterback. And so Jaden Daniels has been a solid to good player. I mean, Caleb Williams is probably the best quarterback in college football next to CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. I mean, he's right there. You know, if Caleb Williams could go pro, he'd probably be the top pick over CJ and Bryce. He's got
one more year, right, Coach?
Yeah, he's got one more year. It's going to be, you know, and it's always like this. Seems like the hype train is always like a year away because like last year, everybody was like, just wait till Bryce and CJ. And then they both have little red flags this year. But I think next year between Drake May, because Brugler said right now, if Drake May was in the draft, he'd go ahead CJ and Bryce. Because just he's a monster. He's but it's like a little high. Yeah.
He's 6'5". He's athletic. Yeah. I mean, yeah. he's like a Trevor Lawrence type.
But Lincoln, like when Lincoln Riley went to USC, I was like, that was a home run hire. He had a lot of success at Oklahoma. He looked at Oklahoma and said, I've taken him as far as I can. I don't know if I can get the elite type of players here all the time. He said, USC is a better job. I can go live in LA, and they offered me $10 million a year. Why not? I mean, it was like a no-brainer. Who wouldn't go there?
How much do you think, and this is crazy, but Lincoln Riley might get a raise after this season. How much do you think Texas A&M would pay Lincoln Riley right now? $15 million a year?
Oh, my God. Yeah, probably.
They're gonna restructure his contract. You don't go from 4-8 to 10-1. I do think my Irish are gonna beat him though. I think they match up well.
I think they could. They could because
they play the opposite game. They run the football and they're great against the pass. I mean, let's be honest.
They got two tough games left. They're more than likely gonna play Oregon in the Pac-12 championship. That's not a cakewalk. Oregon's gonna play tough.
Man, Oregon looked good this weekend too, didn't they?
Well, kind of. I didn't stay up and watch a lot of it. I went to bed. But they beat Utah 20-17. It was kind of sloppy, but they got the win. So that's all that matters.
Yeah, but that's Utah's game, you know.
I agree. So like, if he loses this week or the following week, it's still a good year. You agree with this? Let me ask you this. You know, I'm Mr. Playoff Scenario. USC wins the next two, they're in no matter what, right?
With the coach and quarterback and the program.
In the playoff, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. You wrote them off a couple weeks ago.
No, back up the train. I never wrote them off. I just said I needed to see them beat a good team, and they did, finally. Okay, so now, if they go beat, UCLA was like 12 or 14 in the country. If they beat Notre Dame, who's going to be like, 15? Probably.
They're 13 this week.
They're 13, so they might move up a spot, the 13. And then they beat Oregon, who's going to be top 10 probably, or at least, 11, 12. If they end with three consecutive wins, there's no reason they're not in the playoff. If they lose, it will come down to, I think, Clemson. You said they're done. They're not done. Hear me out a second. Clemson versus the loser of the game between Ohio State and Michigan.
That's
going to be the interesting debate.
I think Clemson's done because of the eye test. The eye test doesn't tell me that they're a Final Four team. That's why I think they're done. Their record is probably going to say otherwise. They're probably going to be 12-1.
Had many 12-1 teams miss the playoffs. Now, here's the thing. I don't disagree with you, but here's the thing is every year I see it, like people freak out. Oh, what if you have 18,000 one loss teams? It never happens. It always sorts itself out. It always does. And so it's hard to win every one of your games. That's why I don't get too mad when Ohio State plays a close game. It's hard to go 11-0. It's hard to go 12-0. It's hard to go 10-1, right? And so I think they'll have a shot. But let me ask you this. Let's play a scenario. Let's say Georgia wins out. Okay? Let's say Ohio State wins out.
Okay?
Let's say USC loses. Let's say Baylor wins out. So you got Baylor, Ohio State, Georgia.
Or you mean TCU.
TCU, what'd I say?
Baylor.
Okay, TCU. Let's say it's one, Georgia, two, Ohio State, TCU's three, and you're between Michigan 11-1. They lose by, let's say, 10 points to Ohio State versus 12-1 ACC champ Clemson. Who do you got? Who gets the fourth spot?
Oh, my goodness. I know I've kind of wrote them off, and you're for sure Bama's going to be out of it? They're done?
They're done. There's no way they're going to give that to them. They're done. There's no way. You have to give it. We've never had a two-loss team win. You're not going to give a two-loss team who didn't even win their conference. That's not possible. I don't care if it's Alabama.
Who's Clemson going to play in the ACC championship game?
North Carolina. It's already set.
Oh, yeah. I was looking.
But North Carolina lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. I mean, Georgia Tech, that looks like a good coaching. I mean, that fire looks like a good fire. They've actually played pretty well. All these teams have actually kind of played a little bit better once they got rid of their head coach. Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. It is crazy. But anyways.
Oh, so, hey, did you see Paul Feinbaum said Auburn could have a coach by Saturday?
Oh, he did? I wonder who it is. I've not seen any buzz about that job. Who is it?
He didn't say. He just said they could have
Lane. It's got to be Lane. I bet you it's Lane.
I think it's Lane Kiffin. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Anyways, all right. So you didn't ask me the question. Answer my question.
Okay. I think Clemson. Listen, them playing North Carolina. They just got beat by Georgia Tech. You look at the resume and them losing by 4 touchdowns to Notre Dame, like that just sits there with you. Like, how good are they? And they really haven't played anybody.
Okay, let's just move on. It's fine.
I know. This is great, Coach. This is what they want us to. They want us talking about this stuff. I like TC. I mean, I think TCU is probably going to win out. They're probably
No. I'm saying here's the scenario that Clemson gets in. Okay, the scenario is USC loses. Ohio State beats Michigan by 2 touchdowns. It's possible. And then you're sitting there like 12-1 Clemson. I mean, it's possible. If USC loses and Ohio State beats Michigan by 2 touchdowns, Clemson's not out of it. That's all I'm saying. But we can move on. Because
yeah.
They're not out of it. The teams that still can make the playoff are Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU, USC, Clemson, LSU. That's it. Nobody else can make it. I think Oregon's done. Penn State, no way. Alabama's done. Who else?
I mean, you're right. That's it. I mean, Georgia's in 99%. They're in.
If Georgia loses to LSU, they're in no matter what. Just like last year, they lost to Alabama. Let's say that's the scenario that USC gets screwed in. If if LSU would beat Georgia, LSU and Georgia both get in.
Yep.
Ohio State or Michigan gets in.
Yeah.
TCU gets in. So that's now here's the other thing.
Okay. Let's play this out. So if USC wins out and beats two top 12, 13 teams in Notre Dame and Oregon, and TCU basically beats
Kansas State isn't bad.
No, they're not bad, but they're not. Yeah, they're all right. They're top 15. Do they put a one-loss USC team over TCU?
If TCU is undefeated, they're in. There's no way a Power 5 team going undefeated will never miss the playoffs.
A 12-1 USC team that just beat 3 top 15 teams in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, there's no way TCU undefeated. An undefeated Power 5 team will never, ever miss the playoffs. I will bet anything on my savings account on that. There's no way, Clark. How are you gonna go? There's no way. You can't do that. TCU's played a heck of a schedule against good teams and beat them. You know, I know they're not.
Who's that good? Who would they beat?
Texas
is probably the best team they played.
They already beat
Oklahoma State stinks. They're done. Okay. Oklahoma
State.
Stinks.
Kansas State. They already beat Kansas State. There you go.
So your best two wins are Kansas State?
But yeah, there's no way an undefeated team won't make it out of Power 5. No way. You go.
Who's their out of conference?
It doesn't matter. They're going to
go. Yes, it does matter. They're going to look at this.
Colorado, Tarleton State, and SMU. That is better than Michigan's.
Yeah, or Michigan's they're not getting, if they don't beat Ohio State, which they, I think they're going to. If they don't beat Ohio State, they're out anyways. I'm just telling you, if USC wins out, they're in over TCU.
Not if you have.
They have a two
only,
win.
The only scenario that USC doesn't make it is if LSU beats Georgia. I don't think it's going to happen. Georgia's going to win out. LSU's going to lose. They're going to have they're going to go 10-3. They had a good year. Georgia's going to win. It's going to be – my guess is Georgia. I think Ohio State's going to win. It's going to be Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, and USC. If USC loses, then it comes down to Clemson or Michigan. That will be the debate. And they'll probably give it over Clemson. They would probably give it to Clemson because they have the ACC championship. And the other thing we'll say is Clemson's got a better non-conference schedule. I mean, Michigan's got the worst non-conference schedule in college football.
Oh, Michigan's got to win it. Yeah, Michigan's got to win win the Big Ten championship to get it. They got to win those two games.
Okay. All right. So we went over USC. Georgia kind of struggled, 16-6, but they got the win.
They were like up 16-0, coach. And they had the ball in the one-yard line. They went for it. They would have made it 23-0. There was not one point in that time where I thought Kentucky was going to win.
That was a struggle, though. We didn't give SEC team a pass. They're running up 9-0 against a horrible Kentucky team. Don't give them a pass. They struggled a little bit.
Well, like I said, they were up 16-0. They had the ball in the one-yard line. I think second goal from the one. They ran it three straight times up. They didn't get it. They come down. Okay,
Georgia, 363 total yards, Kentucky 295. I mean, it was a close game. They won.
Yeah.
I'm not dogging them, but I'm just sick and tired of people saying Georgia doesn't play close games when they barely beat Missouri. They barely beat a Kentucky team that's average. It happens. I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying, like, they don't come at me about Ohio State. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now Michigan got closer to losing. Michigan, Ohio State, they get closer to losing. Michigan won 19-17. I watched a lot of that game.
I watched
the whole game. Me too. Huge moment in that game is Blake Corum getting down. I don't think he's going to play this week. A lot of stuff out of Ann Arbor today saying he's not going
to
play.
We'll have to follow up with Jay Buck because he seems to have the inside scoop on what's going on.
But Michigan won with three straight field goals down the stretch. And they got the win. Illinois hung in there, just couldn't make enough plays at the end. So that was an interesting game. Michigan did get the win. And then Ohio State won 43-30, which was really deceiving. It was really 36-30, and they got a cheap touchdown at the end. But Ohio State was sloppy for sure. They finally got their right running back playing because Henderson could not play. He was hurt, and he was not playing well. And then they figured out their offense the second half. So, you know, they did get the win, so they're 11-0. So we got 11-0 Michigan versus 11-0 Ohio State. First time since 2006. Both teams undefeated. It's going to be a crazy game.
Yeah. I mean, it's big. It's the first time, 11-0 since 07?
Yes. So.
How nervous are you?
I think Ohio State wins by two touchdowns, but I'm also very nervous.
Oh, yeah, you're
mine. Here's my thing. I've watched J.J. McCarthy last month. I do not see an elite quarterback. They do not add. He does not throw the ball past 10 yards. Okay, Clark. Did he look good against Illinois?
No, he looked terrible.
He missed so many wide open guys.
Yeah, he can't hit the crossing route. If he could hit the crossing route, they would have won by three touchdowns.
Yeah, the crosser and then that deep end, that little dig that comes in, he can't hit that. And he struggles with deep ball accuracy.
Michigan's a good football team, though. They're well coached. I think they're a better coached football team than Ohio State. You watch both teams, I come out of there saying if Michigan had half the quarterback play that Ohio State had, they would win. I think they would be in a touchdown favor against Ohio State. That's how much better I think they're.
If you flip the quarterbacks, I would agree, but that's why you go get
crazy?
Do you know what's crazy?
Well, he's five-star. He's five-star quarterback.
Yeah. Listen, you know what's crazy? He was getting recruited by Ohio State. He wanted to go to Ohio State, and Ohio State was recruiting him and McCord, and Kyle McCord said yes first, and they went with him over McCarthy, and then he went to Michigan after that. He wanted to go to Ohio State. Isn't that crazy?
And McCord will be the guy next year?
McCord's going to be the guy next year. Kyle McCord, that's a kid from Philly. I can't believe he stuck around. He stuck around 2 years. He's backing him up. Next year, he'll replace CJ.
He's from Finley?
No, he's from Philadelphia.
Oh, Philadelphia. They got a kid from Finley, right? That's going to Ohio State too, right? Quarterback?
He has not committed yet. His brother's in the 23 class. His brother is a
lineman, right?
His brother's an offensive lineman, 23 class. He's in the 25 class. They got the 24 class is that kid. He's the number one quarterback in the class. His dad played at Nebraska. I'm forgetting the kid's name right now. So they got that kid. So, anyways, I mean, I agree, Jay. I don't know. I just think it's the way Harbaugh coaches. Like he's not maximized his quarterbacks. Like I would feel more scared if Cade McNamara was back there. He wasn't great, but he could throw the ball better than I think JJ McCarthy. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I was scared when they made the move to McCarthy. We'll see what he plays this week, but I've not been very impressed with JJ McCarthy. So
I thought Harbaugh was going to make a switch, and he didn't. I thought that game came down and they were down. I thought, oh boy.
Cade McNamara's hurt. He's out for the year with a knee. So at some point he got hurt. I don't know where and when, but he did.
I think it was week two, one of their backup, one of their games, they're up like maybe Hawaii, where they're up like 50-0 or whatever.
Yeah.
He came in, but I still thought that's how bad McCarthy looked. I thought, man, are they going to make a switch?
See if the guy
can actually hit a couple passes here. I mean, they're still.
He was awful. I agree. All right, let's go to my top 10. All right, here we go. So, you know, it's a lot of it's irrelevant. They're going to play this week, but this is what I got. I got Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Michigan 3, TCU 4, USC 5. I moved them up. They deserve it.
Yeah, they do.
Clemson 6. Now, you can flip-flop them in LSU, but I think that they got the best shot. They only got one loss. Now, I agree. You made a comment last week. You could be right. If you put Clemson SEC, they could have 3 losses. But I don't know. They don't play there, so I can only judge what I see. I got LSU 7, Alabama 8, Oregon 9, Penn State 10. Now, I could have put the AP as Tennessee 10, but the reason why – I'll tell you the reason why I had I kept them the way they were was the reason why I moved Penn State above Tennessee, I thought that was such a shellacking. I mean, that was embarrassing to me. To lose by 30 points against a crappy team. You know, South Carolina is a very average team. You know, so that's why I moved Penn State to 10. So the AP has about the same. The AP has LSU 6, Clemson 7, Alabama 8, Tennessee 9, Oregon 10.
Where do you have the Irish at?
I'd only do top 10, but AP has them 13. They have 3 losses.
You probably have Minnesota.
No, I only do 10.
Michigan State.
They're the highest ranked 3 loss team, though.
Yeah, I mean, could you imagine? And I think
I don't want to hear. Don't win your clunkers. I heard that on a podcast. It's great. Win your clunkers. Ohio State wins their clunkers. They won their clunker against Maryland. They won their clunker against Northwestern. Win your clunkers. You guys lost your clunkers.
We did. Yeah.
You got to win. People don't realize it's hard to go 11-0. I listen, Ohio State struggle. You're 11-0.
Yeah, I don't.
I a little tidbit. This is interesting. One of the Ohio State beat reporters made this comment. Before the game, all the Ohio State players were watching the Michigan game on their phones. I don't know how locked in they were. Not making excuses, I mean. But, you know, at least they're 11-0. I thought Maryland played pretty well against them. But, you know, that's kind of where we're at. So, we got our guests coming in a minute. Hey, by the way, did you see the Athletic did their straw poll? Did you see who's number one in the straw poll for the Heisman?
It's got to be CJ Stroud.
It's for right now, they moved him up. Now, obviously, they could change it anytime, but right now, for the first time, Caleb Williams took the lead.
Yeah, it's all going to come down. It's all going to come down this Ohio State Michigan game. All eyes are going to be on that game. And if CJ has a big game, he's going to win. He's going to win the Heisman. He didn't play awful against Maryland. He just, you know, he's kind of struggling right now. They just don't have a run game. I don't like the way their offense is playing. I'll be honest with you.
The problem was they tried to play Travion Henderson in the first half, and Travion Henderson would ding. My wife got mad. I almost broke my phone. I was so mad. They were running outside. It was like outside zone, and he had a wide open lane, Clark. He probably would have got 10 yards. And he bounced it to the other side and lost 2 yards. He didn't play the rest of the game. They sat on the rest of the game. He is hurt, and he's trying to do too much. They put Dallin Hayden in, a true freshman running back, and all of a sudden, Dallin Hayden, he rushed for 146 yards, largely in the second half. Yeah. So here's the thing with C.J. Stroud. I will give you this. The problem with C.J. Stroud I see is when he gets pressure in his face, he does struggle. And that's his problem. And, like he got pressure in his face. The game deciding play was like 3rd and 3, threw the ball. He had pressure in his face and he threw it. And Emeka Buka made a tremendous catch right at the end. I don't know if you saw the end of the game.
Well, was the one where he kind of scooped it under. I mean, they might lose that game. Is that the one he kind of scooped?
Yes. That was a great catch by Mecca Buka. He saved his ass there. But he does get pressure sometimes and does that, you know. And so I, you know, CJ Stroud was 18 of 30, 241, good, but not like
explosive. Not Heisman type, yeah. And then
I think the thing it is I think sometimes he trusts his receivers so much he's taking chances, you know, and like he's throwing some balls in double coverage that maybe he shouldn't. And so that's the other thing I'll say behind.
Give me the top four. Who are the top four?
Top four what?
Heisman.
Oh, on the straw poll?
Yeah.
Okay. They had Caleb Williams, one.
CJ, two.
They had Caleb Williams. They did points. Based on points. This is athletic. So it's all athletic writers. They had Caleb Williams, 108 points. Okay. Total. They had CJ Stroud with 46. They had the third is Max Duggan from TCU.
Wow.
And then fourth is Blake Corum. Fifth, Hendon Hooker.
And Corum's for sure out.
It's not for sure, but it sounds like it. One of the offensive linemen from Michigan slipped up and said, well, when you lose a great player like him, you gotta make up for it. And he could not cut. When he went back in, he could not cut. It's some sort of ligament sprain. I watched him go back in. He could not cut at all. That's a huge loss. When your whole offense identity is a ground and pound style, losing your best rank. He's good. I mean, he's really explosive running back. And I think
he can do it all. He can run between the tackles. He can break the long one. Yeah. He's a first team All-American.
Oh, he's really good. Yeah. He's excellent. Really good. And I agree. Let's see. Let me text my guest, see what's going on here.
Okay.
Maybe he's having problems. I don't know. But I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. You know, this Ohio State-Michigan game, you know, all eyes. I mean, you're going to get a massive rating. How big a rating? 15, 20 million people? It's going to be the biggest rated game, especially because now you got 2 versus 3. You know, people are going to love, you know, game day and Fox is there.
Awesome.
It's going to be a nuts atmosphere.
Where's the matchup at?
The spread?
No. What's the overall record?
An all-time series?
Yeah.
Michigan's got it by like 9 or 10. I told somebody I won't ever feel good in life.
No, Ohio State. Yeah, Ohio State's 58-51-6.
What?
116 games they played. Ohio State wins. Or Michigan.
Michigan wins all-time record.
58-51.
Yes, it bothers me. I would never feel good until it's all flipped. Now
How many Ohio State Michigan games are you about to coach?
I don't know. That's a good question. In college, I went to – I don't know. Not as many. I think I went to two in college for sure. And then I think I went one after that. So
I've been the three as well.
So here we go. My guy, Steve Navarelli, coming in from Michigan, Michigan fan. The great guy. Come on in. Steve, you there?
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
All right. How about yourself? And sorry, for some reason, my camera shows it's on, but it keeps blocking, and it makes me mad because it does it during District 3 meetings, too.
Don't worry about it, man. How's the new job real quick before we get started?
Great. Yeah, I know. It's great. You know, we had a couple of weeks. It was a lot of work, you know, I mean, 60 hours plus.
And wow.
And, you know, there's downtime, but I like it. I'm still working around high school sports and athletes, just in a completely different role.
Awesome. All right, so Steve, I brought you on. This is a big week. You know, it's when I went to Ohio State, we call it a Beat Michigan week. You know, it's incredible. They're both 11-0 coming in this game. Last year got the big win against OSU. It's carried over. They've had another great year. How excited are you to watch this game?
Well, you know, obviously you're always excited as either a Michigan or an Ohio State fan. But also, I think, Patrick, even as a college football fan, you know, if this rivalry doesn't excite you, I don't know that any really will. I mean, to me, it is the rivalry. Especially now Oklahoma. When I was a kid, there were four big rivalries that were Thanksgiving weekend: Pitt and Penn State, Oklahoma and Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State, and USC, UCLA. Well, two of those don't even play anymore. And I know Alabama Auburn is probably just as big, and especially with the influence of the SEC, which, you can't deny that. Us Big Ten fans would like to deny, but we can't. So, obviously, long story short, certainly looking forward to it. Tremendous defense against tremendous offense. And what more could you ask for?
Do you think, Harbaugh, I think people gave him a bad perception. He won all the games he should have. He was just struggling against Ohio State and Michigan State. Do you think he can maintain this level going forward? And even if he would lose Saturday 11-1, the fan base has to be pretty happy.
I would think so. And, I think the bottom line is it took him 6 years to even be in the same conversation. And, let's face it, it's what Harbaugh had to experience is what John Cooper experienced at OSU. I mean, you can't, the similarity is definitely there. I think Harbaugh is probably a little more of a personality, which in some ways made it harder on him. I think sometimes Cooper, I'm sure OSU fans were going crazy on Cooper, but he didn't have this enigmatic personality that either people loved him or didn't like him. Harbaugh kind of has that. But I think that adds to the expectations.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Clark.
Hey, Steve. Yeah. Coach and I are both from Fremont, Ohio. Two of Michigan's all-time best players, Rob Lytle, Charles Woodson, from our hometown. What's your favorite Ohio State Michigan memory?
You know, it's funny. I would go back, and I'm going back, and I'm going to tell you right out, I don't remember the year because I was young. And fellas, if I was young, you two may not have been born yet. I got to be honest with you. So it would have been sometime early 70s. And it was one that Ohio State was undefeated going in. I think Michigan may have even had two losses. And it was a game that Bo just left it all out on the table. And he pulled nothing back. Michigan scored first. And, of course, they had a good defense, but they just couldn't score points. Ohio State was legitimately the better team. Michigan scores first, kicks an onside kick, goes down, scores again, and runs a fake extra point for a two-point conversion, and it's 15-0. And to me, that was one of those things that you only see in a rivalry, if that makes sense, Michigan had no business beating Ohio State that year, and they did, I want to say 22-7 or something like that. But just that they pulled out all the stops like that, to me, that stated what it was, and that is maybe my personal favorite. And from there, maybe last year, because it would have been just that great relief of finally beating OSU. Because it had been a long time, and not that – there wasn't a year that they necessarily deserved it either. I mean, OSU was better all those years. And I think last year was finally that exception.
That's awesome. I definitely wasn't born in the early 70s.
That's I figured that. I was. I will say I was young, I was at my house, the house I grew up in St. Clair Shores, Michigan, watching it and kind of surprised. By the way, they did it. And again, and Shem Beckler nor Woody Hayes during that era were necessarily known as being risk takers. They were just known as smash mouth football coaches who knew how to coach. But the fact that Jim Beckler just said, hey, they've got a better record than us, but we can make our season by beating them. And again, that just tells you what a rivalry is.
Who? I got one more question. Now I'll let Coach say, who's the more pressure on? It's got to be Ohio State, right? In my opinion, but I mean,
I think anytime you're the team that lost the year before, that's going to get you the most pressure, and maybe a couple. Let's go back 4 or 5 years. There probably wasn't as much pressure on Michigan because they weren't as good. You know, they had nothing to lose.
Yeah,
and they still lost, mind you, but. But I think you got to say Ohio State just because they lost last year and they weren't used to it. I mean, let's face it. It didn't matter if it was in the horseshoe, the big house. They dominated that rivalry for how many years, deservedly so. So you gotta say that the pressure's on them. And, you know, it's hard to say, you know, they have pressure to score. Well, you know, I mean, Michigan does have a great defense. I mean, the number one defense probably in the country. I think a lot of the rankings show that. But, you know, we've seen Ohio State score against good defenses before. I think for Ohio State, it's going to score early.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I look.
Steve, I told Coach earlier, I think Michigan's one of the best coached teams in football. I mean, just with the eye test, with their talent they have around them, and how they play, I think they're the most well coached. But you know, and that's just an honest opinion. I'm not an Ohio State nor Michigan fan. I'm a Notre Dame fan. When I watch them play with their talent, if they had a better quarterback, I honestly think they'd be favorite in this game. But
I think you're absolutely right. And you know, I think he's a serviceable quarterback. He's not a dynamic quarterback, and I think that therein lies the difference. Now you do have, you know, both teams have great running backs, and depending on Corum's health, I know he got nicked up a little bit last week, but he's just a guy, you know, he's just a guy that's willing to take contact to gain a lot of yards. And that's what makes him fun to watch.
So let me ask you this, Steve. You know, you've been a part of this rivalry a long time. If Ryan Day would lose this game, what do you think Ohio State fans' reaction would be? Do you think they're about to, you're not going to fire? He's not on the hot seat. I'm not saying he's fired.
No, right.
But, like, this is going to be first time in a long time, because you had Jim Tressel and then Urban Meyer, that Ohio State coach is now 1-2 against Michigan. I think there's going to be a lot of people really upset. Not say he's on a hot seat or anything, no. But it's going to be – he could get some real hatred against Ohio State fans. Going to really start moving off him a little bit.
To me – that's the similarity what Harbaugh went through when he could go 10-2, because he would always lose a different, you know, whether it be a fluky game against Michigan State, a la the botched punt or something like that. But he would lose to Ohio State and people are hating him for being 10-2, 9-3. I think Ryan Day is in that position, but it's a little bit silly at the same time, because you can't argue. Let's say Michigan wins. You can't argue that Ryan Day has proven to be a great recruiter and his team's always in the top five, you know. But that's, to me, it's one of the drawbacks of this rivalry is how much they put on the coaches that it's almost like win this game, hell with the national championship. That's not the goal, but
yeah. Yeah, and I'm not saying this is the reason behind it, but like Ohio State fans could point to, you know, Tressel and Urban, Ohio guys, you know, and now Ryan Day, if he would lose, this would go 1-2. And I'm not saying that's the sole reason, but, you know, I think I agree with you, Steve. There is so much pressure on CJ Stroud and Ohio State. Like, if they play bad and they lose this game, it's going to be meltdown city in Columbus. I'm going to go to Cancun, Mexico with my family. We're on vacation. I'm going to have a meltdown there. I'll be honest with you. They haven't beat Ohio State since 2000 in the horseshoe. So it would be a great, great accomplishment for Michigan. Be a great, great accomplishment for Harbaugh. So we will wait and see. But you're right. The pressure's on Ohio State. The pressure's on Ryan Day to get this win.
Yeah, it is. I think there's more pressure on them, you know, but at the same time, you know, these two have both proven, you know, and then you've got the whole nother argument. Okay, does the loser buy, you know, find its way, especially when you look at how many points Tennessee's given up? And I was never on their band. I couldn't get into Tennessee because they, even though they won all those games, they allowed so many points in winning. You know, so does the loser still get in? I don't think so. But then that becomes the conversation. You know, it's like a twofold with this year's game, maybe that we've never seen because the playoff was never quite, you know, they haven't both been 2 and 3. I know last year they were both ranked and high. You know, I think, you know, there's going to be other factors that this game that go beyond this game. You know, when I grew up, and I mentioned, and I apologize for bringing back the old days, if you will, there was no playoff. And I think that may have put more onus on this game. It was only to get in the Rose Bowl.
Right.
And now it was to get in the Rose Bowl every year. You rarely had one of, you know, from the late 60s when Michigan State got in, from there up to the 80s, you never saw another team in. And but that was the end of the season. It's not anymore, particularly, obviously, definitely for the winner. I mean, the winner's in the Final Four.
It's anti-climatic that whoever's coming out of the West is just, I mean, it's probably going to be Iowa, right? I mean, they're not.
If Iowa beats, if they beat Nebraska, it's Iowa.
Yeah.
It's going to be an Iowa versus Ohio State or Iowa versus Michigan. They're going to win. They're going to win that game, obviously, you know?
What is the overwhelming odds on that game, you know? And that's a whole other thing. Oh, my God. You know, I'm glad you guys mentioned that, seriously. Because, you know, I'm thinking of that Final Four. I'm forgetting all about the Big Ten Championship because you can almost assume whoever wins this game wins the Big Ten Championship. And then, you know, obviously it goes on to the Final Four. But it's kind of, you know, and again, grew up without a Big Ten Championship game too. I think it's better now. It's nice to be able to discern. And obviously, I think, you know, I'm still bitter about the year that Nebraska got that split on Michigan because I thought Michigan was a better team. But, you know, that's my only real bitterness as I look back. What was that, 97, I believe?
97. That was the Woodson. 97. That was a Charles Woodson year.
Yeah, and Scott, I remember Scott Frost after Nebraska winning. I'll never forget saying, well, if y'all want to vote for Michigan, go ahead. And I think people liked his brashness. Of course, they liked his brashness a lot more than they liked his coaching.
You know? I don't think they liked his drinking.
Probably not that either, no. But, you know, but I do like that there's a playoff. And listen, can it be wrong? Can the playoff be wrong? Can not the best team in college football win the playoff? Well, absolutely. But I think those years Alabama won the playoff, I'm not going to argue that they weren't the best team in the nation. So I think that works.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Steve, well, thank you so much for popping on. I love the stories. I have the similar stories growing up. You know, Clark does too. I remember going to the VFW and to be half Michigan and half Ohio State fans and going to the Woody Bow stores, and I refuse to go to the Michigan side. I mean, you know, I live in Pennsylvania, but, you know, I still have a lot of great memories of living in Ohio and growing up. So I appreciate you coming on. Keep up all the great work with District 3. I'm so happy you landed on your feet and everything's going well.
Yep, it is going well. I appreciate the send, and certainly, you know, guys can count me in any time, and I apologize for the lateness and the non-camera. Not that you need to see me anyhow, so.
Thanks, right, Steve. Thank
you. All right, yeah, guys, take care.
See you later.
See ya.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there you go. All right, now we're going right back to back guests, Clark. First time ever. Jonah Booker's on.
That's awesome.
Jonah, my guy.
Hey, man. Happy Michigan week.
I'm so nervous, and it's only Monday.
should he be nervous?
I'm feeling pretty confident. I think Ohio State rolls big this weekend.
Wow. Well, let me back up. I was driving in, listening to a podcast about Ohio State, and I was all nervous. But anyways, so last time on the podcast, you said you thought there was a very, very good chance they both 11-0. So great job by you. Nostradamus, Jonah Booker here. Nice work. What do you think is the key to Ohio State getting this victory this week? And we'll give you a flip side. I know you know your college football. What's the flip side? What do you think the key is to victory for Michigan?
Hey, let me jump in here real quick, because he also said he thought Michigan was going to get in the Final Four too that day, and it almost
you did. You're right.
It might come true. It might come true.
Yeah, if things shake out, I was just actually before I got on here, I was thinking to myself, what mayhem would look like if you had a situation to where if Michigan lost, TCU lost, USC lost in the next 2 weeks, you know, what do you have standing? Tennessee's already out of there, so there's a very good chance that regardless of the way things shake out, if the cards fall, like a lot of fans want, Michigan and both Ohio State could be in there. The winner of this game could be the number two seed, and the loser can slide right back in there as the number four seed. So, you know, I called it several weeks ago, and I was just looking at the way the schedules were lining up, and I had no doubt in my mind that Michigan was going to be 11-0 headed into Columbus. And as far as this actual game here, the keys to the victory for Ohio State obviously is going to be stopping Michigan up front. Regardless if Blake Corum plays or not, it's just going to be a situation to where can you get Michigan into third and long, get their offense off track. Michigan, they're going to want to have 6-7 minute drives, keeping the ball away from the Ohio State offense. Will Jim Knowles 4-2-5 defense be able to slow down Michigan? That's going to be a big question that I have. And if they are able to slow Michigan's run game down, I think that right there is going to be the huge key, because Michigan, at the end of the day, they want to play in a phone booth. Ohio State, they want to make you defend the entire field. If Ohio State jumps out on Michigan, they're going to be in an uncomfortable situation that they haven't found themselves in all year, which is, can we make J.J. McCarthy win this game with his arm in a hostile environment in Columbus with all eyes of college football watching? When it comes to the Michigan side, you know, most programs who've played against Ohio State this year, the success that they found is, are you able to stop the run? Everyone knows that Ohio State is going to throw. They're going to get theirs in the passing game. But if you're able to slow Ohio State's rushing tackle down, that gets Ohio State's offense off schedule. They've struggled. Northwestern did it. Iowa did it in the first half. Penn State showed that they can do it if they're slowing the run game down. What busted that Maryland game open was Ohio State was able to run the ball in the second half. At that point,
Travion Henderson sucked. He could not hit the hole, Jonah. I was losing my mind in first half. The one time he had wide zone wide open for about a 20-yard gain, he cuts it back and gets minus 2 yards. They put Hayden in, and all of a sudden the offense works. Sorry. Yep.
Jonah, you sent out a couple tweets about him missing the hole.
He missed quite a bit. There's something going on with his vision. I mean, the kid was averaging 1.9 yards a carry. He's obviously injured. That's one thing. But when it comes to just the vision, I just think that what they're trying to do doesn't fit Travion Henderson's skill set. They're trying to run a wide zone type of scheme, and I think he's more of a gap runner. I just don't think he has the intuition and the feel of the game to be able to run in a zone scheme, to where in zone scheme, you got to be patient. You got to trust that the blocks are going to open up, and once you see it, you got to hit it. You got to hit it with a full steam ahead. And he does a little bit too much bouncing and dancing in the backfield, which you typically see from a lot of younger backs. But it's very impressive that Dallin Hayden, with his vision for a young back, he sees it and he hits it full steam ahead.
Well, and I think he's hurt, and he's trying to do too much too, don't you think? He's a different back than he was last year. Dallin Hayden's good. And then like Mayan Williams, if he can give you 80-90%, you play him too. Like Travion, just don't play. Get ready for the bowl game. Maybe you're ready by then.
Yeah, I would definitely set Trey. From all indications, Williams is going to be there. If Williams is ready, he needs to be your starting running back. If you got him at 80-85%, because he's going to be a bull in the china shop. Then you come in and sprinkle in some Dallin Hayden to be your change of pace back. He's going to be the guy that comes in that can really hit that home run for you. But right now, I just think that Henderson, one, is not healthy, and two, he's in a slump right now. He's in that sophomore slump to where he's not seeing it. The game is moving too fast for him right now. So even if he's healthy, I would have him at running back three going into this game.
Yeah. Go ahead, Clark.
No, I asked Steve the last question. I mean, obviously, you know more about Ohio State football than anybody that I've ever talked to. What's your fondest Ohio State Michigan memory?
I would say the 06 Ohio State Michigan game. I mean, it was a classic, and it's not very often that you actually have an Ohio State versus Michigan game that goes into the evening to where the lights are on, the sun is down. That right there was 1-2. Bo Schembechler had passed away the night before, and you just had that feel right to where, you know, if whoever wins this game is going to the national championship. Troy Smith had one of the most unbelievable games to secure the Heisman Trophy. And if you look at both of those rosters, it was absolutely loaded with NFL talent. And it just had one of those feels to where this is special. This is something that you don't normally see, a 1-2 Ohio State versus Michigan under the lights like that. That's just such a rarity. And that 06 game was an absolute instant ESPN classic.
And Michigan's quarterback still in the league.
Unbelievable.
He's Mahomes' backup.
No, he has made a ton of money just sitting there on the backup quarterback and just absolutely performing, you know, as a backup quarterback, making millions and millions of dollars for like the last 15 years, 16 years.
He's probably got to be the last guy from that game still in the NFL.
Yep. I think you're right.
Wow.
How are you guys feeling about this game?
I feel here's what I'll say. I'll start. Clark, you can talk. I think Ohio State wins by 14 points Here's why. Here's why I say, Jonah. I agree with you. I think J.J. McCarthy has stunk. I watched an entire Illinois game. He missed multiple receivers wide open. He doesn't throw the ball past 10 yards. His deep ball is inconsistent. The strength of Ohio State's defense is their front seven, especially their front four. They'll slow down Michigan's run game, and they'll make McCarthy beat him, and I don't think he can. And I think Ohio State, it's close, and then Ohio State runs away with it.
Clark, how you feel?
When I look at Ohio State's roster, Michigan's roster, Ohio State's much better, but I actually think Michigan's one of the best coached teams in college football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but they're just a quarterback away. McCarthy's he's just not very dynamic. He's not good.
All right. Michigan, you're 100% correct. They are extremely fundamentally sound. They're very well coached. I just think even if Blake Corum plays, he's going to be a shell of himself. He's only a week out from an injury. And if you watch, you know, some of those clips from when he was warming up, the guy can barely cut. He probably now has some type of swelling that they're going to try to have to nurse. I wouldn't be surprised if they shoot him up with a cortisone shot to see if he can at least give it a go. They're going to try. Yeah. He's going to try to give it a go. And I just think that the way that they've operated all year, they've done JJ a disservice because, you know, it's 1985 type of playbook. Let's run the rock 50 times a game. And then, you know, the quarterback throws for 110 yards, 115 yards. I just think that even with the schedule that they had, they should have been building that momentum in the passing game so that once they get in November, you start to play the better teams. Your running attack is not clicking like it's supposed to. Now you can pivot and say, hey, we have confidence in our quarterback to go win the ball game for us. And I just feel that if you get Michigan out of sync, that running game starts to, you know, get a little static like you saw against Illinois. They start to have a little bit of panic creeping in.
Yeah, I agree. It is an old style. Like, I was arguing with a friend of mine, and I said, I don't understand when they're playing these crappy teams. You know, I remember my coaching days. When we went in a game, we felt confident. When I did coach on good teams, wasn't always, but when I coached on good teams, we went in, we were like, feel good. If we're up 21-0, and let's say we weren't very good at, like, something, we would work on it. Right. And you're up against Michigan State, or you're up against, you know, and Illinois is not a bad team, but I'm saying, like, Michigan State, and they played Indiana. It's like, throw the ball, work on the pass game. They never did. And It just tells you they don't believe in him. You know, they don't believe in him. They don't trust in him. And they just don't throw the ball past 10 yards. And when they do, it's not pretty, you know. And The other thing is they don't score touchdowns. I mean, you know, that game could have been over if they would have punched a touchdown. And they had three straight drives and kicked three straight field goals. If they would have punched the touchdown. And now, Ohio State in big games, right, Jonah? That's a concern. When they play good defenses, they haven't punched it in at times. So that would be interesting to see if they could do. It could turn maybe early on. It's a field goal game. We just kick field goals. But, you know, that would be my concern. And the other thing is Ohio State's at home. I think that's a huge advantage. You know, they haven't won there since 2000, right? Isn't it 2000?
Yep, 2000.
Yep. Wow. And so that's a huge advantage. Ohio State's going to come in with a chip on the shoulder. And I think, you know, Ryan Day, in a way, don't you think, Jonah, in a way, the first 11 games have been a preseason almost for Ohio State. They've been waiting to play this game since last November when they got the butts kicked. So
well, I would say this about Ohio State. Ohio State has yet to play their best football.
They I agree. Had,
you said that last week, Coach. Yeah.
Yes.
You
said that last week. Their best game has been probably a BB minus. If they play an A game, they could be they could blow them off the field.
I mean, they've had so many injuries. I mean, from the time that JSN Jackson Smith and Jigwe got hurt against Notre Dame, Ryan Day said that threw off their passing attack. They had to adjust to that. Took them a couple weeks to, you know, really adapt to him being out for a long period of the time. Then you look at the running back situation. I mean, we've had probably two games all season that Mayon Williams and Trevion Henderson has actually played together. It's either one's in, one's out, one's in, one's out. And it's hard to have a consistent rushing attack. You look at, you know, the defense for the most part have had their core pieces together for the entire season. But I've yet to see Ohio State put a solid four quarters with pedal to the metal, playing their best football, disciplined football, not having mental mistakes with as far as, you know, false starts. And how many delayed games are we going to get every single week? There's at least 2 to 3 delayed game penalties that they have, you know, communicating, getting the calls in. So I'm just waiting for this Ohio State team to play their best football. Will it be against Michigan? I don't know. But what I saw today when Ryan Day canceled all traditional senior activity that they have for Michigan week, that tells me they're pretty dialed in. If he's saying, hey, we're not going to do the traditional stuff that we usually do year in, year out because we don't want any distractions, that tells me that they're locked in.
Well, I'll let you go, good Clark. But like everybody romanticizes the 2014 Buckeyes, right? But they had some games in there that weren't like they struggled against Penn State and went to overtime. And that was not a good Penn State team. They had some games that they struggled. Remember the 0-2 Buckeyes? I know it's a long time ago. Every game was close, man. They could have lost to Cincinnati that year, Illinois. And it's like Ohio Purdue. State sometimes, Purdue, you know, Holy Buckeye. Ohio State, I don't know. It's just like sometimes they're always the most talented team in the Big Ten. And sometimes they just play down and they play sloppy. And when they get on the, you know, when they play a big game, you know, they're going to get their best effort. I mean, Michigan's going to get their best effort finally. Ohio State's going to be 100% focused. And we'll see if it's good. We'll see if there's their A game. You know, I don't know. We don't know. If they do, I think that they win by 2 or 3 touchdowns. If they don't, it's a close game. They could still win, maybe, or Michigan upsets them. Go, Clark. It's Ohio State love affair. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it is. And I do think Ohio State's a better team. I mean, is the pressure going to be just a little bit too much? I mean, the way we're taught, I mean, canceling, you know, all the senior activity and all, I mean – to me, I get that's dialed in focus, but then it's like, okay, is he trying to say that, listen, if we don't win this game, this is end of an era, you know. I mean, it's been pretty much a dynasty over Michigan the last 20 years.
I will say this. This is a must-win game for Ryan Day in Ohio State. Absolutely.
That's like, pressure to me. Jonah, that's pressure.
That's a ton of pressure because if he doesn't win this game, now you start pivoting to, is this John Cooper 2.0?
I would be clapping about that, Coach.
I mean, no, but I agree with him. I've been saying that for a month. You called me an idiot.
You have that.
Like, if he doesn't win this game, his seat is going to get hot. Right now, Ohio State fans, I will say this, just, you know, for me getting the pulse of them, they haven't been really pleased with the way Ohio State has won. Yes, there's winning, and I think the aura of the playoff have kind of made it to a beauty pageant type of situation to where if you're not winning and it looks a certain way, the fans view it as, hey, we're winning because we are out-athleting people, because we have more talent than almost every single team in the Big Ten, but we're not really playing good football. Like, we're getting by. Northwestern, regardless of the weather, you couldn't run the ball against Northwestern. You know, you look at Penn State. Penn State threw for 300 on you. You couldn't run the ball against Penn State. Finally, you broke some open. You had some forced turnovers from your defense to bust it open. You look at Iowa, same type of situation. Those teams clearly don't have the talent that Ohio State has. And if you look at those Ohio State games, there has been week after week after week, Ohio State fans been questioning Ryan Day's play calling, his stubbornness to run a zone scheme when we're obviously a much better rushing attack when you're running a gap scheme. So as you mentioned, the pressure's there. If he doesn't win this game, the heat is going to be turned all the way up. Ohio State fans will not sit back with the stakes so high. They do not want to have, especially, and I will say this, Clark, back then you didn't, during the John Cooper era, you didn't have social media. You didn't have Twitter. You didn't have Facebook. You didn't have Instagram.
So, no internet either.
No internet. So now with the players, the coaches having direct access to the fans recruiting, it just turns up the volume that much more if he doesn't beat Michigan. So there is a significant amount of pressure for him to win.
Yeah, I agree.
I couldn't agree more. I've been saying it all year. I mean, I like when you say it though too. So
all right, last one here. Let me get you. You know, Jim Knowles defense has been great, but you know, are you with me? The biggest concern is their corners. Now, I don't think McCarthy can exploit them, but still, the corners are a concern on the defense. I think their front sevens played exceptional, especially the front four. What do you think? You know, how would you say about Jim Knowles defense this year? It's been better. What do you think about the corners and the concern?
John, I want to throw one more question to that since we're about finishing up. One player, impact player, you think needs to have their best game of the season other than C.J. Stroud and Marvin Harrison Jr., who are, I think, are Ohio State's two best players?
Yeah, when it comes to the defense, as you mentioned, Coach, the front sevens, they've been extremely strong. The DBs have been a question mark all season long. And I take back what I said when I said the defense has been, you know, somewhat healthy. I forgot that they've missed a lot of time when it comes to the corners. Yeah. Yep. Denzel Burke has been playing with a cast in his hand. He missed a lot of time and he was having a rough go at it early on in the season. Then Cam Brown had been hurt for quite a bit of time. At one point, they were down to Jair Brown, true freshman, and J.K. Johnson, another redshirt freshman, as their starting cornerbacks. Jordan Hancock missed a lot of the season. So they've battled injury issues. I think that right now that is their weakest link. The good news, if you're an Ohio State fan, I don't think you're going to see the litany of wide receivers until you probably get in the playoffs. I don't think Georgia has the caliber of wide receivers that Maryland had that was be able to pick them apart. Maybe TCU. I thought Tennessee has a nice wide receiver core. They're probably out of it. I don't think Michigan's passing attack is going to threaten Ohio State as much. But I will say this. I'm sure Jim has something in his back pocket. I'm sure he's going to throw something at Ohio State there to where he's going to try to back them off. I truly believe if you're Ohio State, you're crowding that line of scrimmage. Your safety's heels are 10 yards from the ball. Until JJ can actually prove that he can beat you, you're going to crowd that line of scrimmage. So if you're Michigan, take a couple shots to try to back them off. When it comes to impact players, who do I think needs to have the best game, their best game? I'm looking at Tommy Eichenberg. I just think that the way Michigan is what they want to do as far as running the football, if he can be that force in the middle to slow them down, it doesn't necessarily have to be, hey, shut Michigan down because they are way too good to shut them down. But if you can get them in third and six, third and five, keep them off schedule a little bit there, I think that's going to be key. It's going to be tough because he's another one that's injured. He's out there with broken hands. He has casts on his hands. But the good news about Tommy is he's so smart. He knows the defense. As long as he's where he needs to be as far as in the gap and to let the rest of the guys come and rally around him, I think he'll be all right. But, yeah, the cornerback, that's going to be if Ken Michigan makes a couple throws. It doesn't have to be 40, 50-yard plays, but if they can get 20-yard chunk plays, then that right there, which I will call a major success for JJ.
Okay, I lied. I got one more. How good has Zach Harrison been and JT Tumalau? Oh, my God. Those two have been beasts at ends.
Yeah, Zach is – a lot of people had given up hope on Zach, myself Me including. I didn't think Zach, you know, was going to bring his game to this level that we're starting to see. We're really seeing a guy that's breaking out, that's showing all Big Ten type of potential. If he can be that force on the other end. And the one thing, Coach, that I really like that I'm seeing from Zach is he's setting the edge. He's keeping that outside shoulder free, and he's able to set that edge to where if a ball carrier does come to his side, he's having to bounce it out, stretch it to the field, which is allowing the rest of the team to rally to the football, which is a major, major improvement than what we saw last year. But as far as his pass rush, it's been top of the line, outstanding. You pair that with JT Tuamalu, those two right there, they've been hell on wheels. If we can get somebody in the middle to start to be dominant, if we can get that early season Mike Hall that we saw against Notre Dame, if we can get Taron Vincent to really step up and be that force cutting through the middle, then you can really see that defensive line play some SEC-style football, which I say that because I think Georgia probably has the best front in all of college football, and I think Ohio State's bookend defensive ends are probably playing the best 1-2 punch right now out there.
Yeah. You got a score prediction for us or no?
Put me on the spot. Let's see here. I'm going with I'm going with Ohio State 34, Michigan 21. Ohio State covers that.
Okay.
Covers that spread. I just think that with Blake Corum being banged up, I think what Michigan wants to do, Ohio State knows the mission, which is stop the run. They've been called soft. They've been called a finesse team. They've heard all the talk a whole year about how this program is a Big 12-esque finesse type of team, and I think they're going to take it personal. You have to remember about Ryan Day. He is really good at get-back games. What I mean is, look at Dabo. When Dabo was calling them the number 13 team, Ohio State, they devoted all off that whole season to Clemson for that game. And what did they do? They went out there and dominated Clemson.
Kicked their ass.
Yeah, and when Ryan Day's dialed in and says, "Hey, we have revenge," he's usually really good at getting back. But I say this though: if you're Michigan, I will blitz the heck out of C.J. Stroud. You start blitzing him, make him uncomfortable, Start retreating back. Start running outside the pocket. That's when you start causing Ohio State problems. And if you're Michigan, make it a fourth quarter game. You're not going to go into the chute and blow them out. That's not going to happen like you saw up in Ann Arbor. But if you're Michigan, try to make it a fourth quarter game to where your offensive line starts to wear down that defensive front. That's when, if you're Michigan, you can start to really lean on that solid front seven that they have on that defense, because Michigan has a heck of a defensive front as well.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well, thank you so much. Awesome, right. As always.
Above and beyond. We really appreciate you, Jonah.
Not a problem. Have a good one, guys, and enjoy the week, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Yeah, you too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Enjoy the game. Enjoy everything. We appreciate it. We'd love to have you back another time. All right, buddy?
All right, take care.
See ya.
Hey, Coach. Wow.
He was good.
I went to my first Ohio State-Michigan game November 20th, 1993. 29 years ago was the first game I ever stepped foot, actually in the Big House.
Wow, I've never been to the Big House.
I've seen two games there. 2016, when Zeke just went crazy, and then 1993 was my first Ohio State Michigan game. Ohio State, I think, was 9-0-1. And or 9-0, one of those, and Michigan was 7-3 or 7-4, and they came in and they kicked their ass 28-0. That was Joey Galloway. I think Ohio State was might have been the national championship favorite that year, and they just got crushed.
Yes, I remember that game, Clark. What I want to know.
He's awesome. Joe, I don't think, let's just touch on him real quick. I don't think there's anybody that knows probably Ohio State football more than him. Other than maybe the coaches. I mean, he's a wealth of knowledge.
He's so good, yeah. Hey, yeah. But, how'd you become a Notre Dame fan? You grew up in Ohio State, Michigan country. You came in Notre Dame fan.
Yeah, you know, we went, it was 1992. We go to my aunt, took me and my cousins to South Bend, and we visited the stadium and Touchdown Jesus and Jerome Bettis, number six. I got a number six Notre Dame jersey. And guess what came out right along that time? Rudy. It was like that same era, and I've been a Notre Dame fan since.
You know, I was a Notre Dame fan as a kid. You know that too. I like, because of the whole Catholic thing. I like Notre Dame and Ohio State, and then when they played, I was like, I can't be Notre Dame anymore. Like they're both playing, and I had to pick one, and I picked Ohio State. You know, so yeah, like I get it. You know, it's a big, you know, it's still a big Notre Dame area in our area. You know,
we're only 3 hours away.
Yeah, 3 hours away, right? So I was always curious. So
yeah, anyways, that was it. Jerome Bettis was my first Jerome Bettis, and
he was awesome. I remember
Rick Meyer. Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, he was great. That was a great breakdown. We had two great guests in a row.
Awesome.
I might have some breaking news though, even though Lane Kiffin disputed it. According to a local guy in Ole Miss, John Skoloff, he's a local broadcaster. He says Lane Kiffin's going to Auburn, okay? But Lane then tweeted out, "That's news to me, John. Nice sources." So we'll see what happens. And he could be saying that. Remember, Nick Saban was refuting it when he was at Miami. I mean, it's kind of hard. These coaches get in an awkward situation when they accept the job.
Wow.
So that's, I mean, what do you think? Lane Kiffin and Auburn, would that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's a better program than Ole Miss, I would say.
You can win a national championship there. You can't at Ole Miss.
No, probably not. Yeah, I mean, that's – yeah. I mean, I think that's – I think that would, I mean, honestly, I think Kiffin, wherever he goes, is probably going to be about the same, right? I mean, it comes down to defense and – winning the big game, and unfortunately, he hasn't been able to do that in his career, wherever he's been.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know, like, he's done a nice job at Ole Miss. They have a shit ceiling, and he's done a nice job there. So I think it would be a good hire. All right, let's get into our picks. All right, here we go. We got to get into our picks.
Let's keep it quick, because we've been on for about an hour and 20 minutes, Coach. So
yeah, yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, we won't be back next week. I'll be in Cancun. A lot of pina coladas. So I'll be there. We will be back. We'll be back, Clark, the Monday after.
December 5th.
Yes. So we'll be back after the championship games. So we'll miss the recap to the Michigan-Ohio State game, all the big games this week. Then the championship game, we'll miss the Big Ten championship, SEC. By the time we're back on the air, we'll know who the playoff teams are. So let's get in our picks. Last week, I went 2-2-1. You went 1-3-1. So I'm 27-24-2. You're 25-26-2. Comes down to this week. Okay. Don't get mad at me. I picked Oregon State, the Civil War. Come on. That's a great game. They're both pretty good teams. You know, Oregon State is sneaky, not a bad team this year. They're not a bad team. Don't poo-poo on Oregon State. They're not horrible.
You love your Pac-12.
I like good teams, and Oregon State is not that bad. Oregon State is 3-3. That ain't bad for what they are. Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay, so here we go. Oregon -3.5 at Oregon State. I'll go first. I'm going to pick Oregon. Oregon beats Oregon State, and that should clinch them a chance to make the Pac-12 championship. So I'm taking Oregon.
So is Oregon automatically in, or do they have to win this game?
I think they got to win it. There's all these crazy scenarios, though, but I think they got to win it, yes.
Oregon State's not bad. And that game's at Oregon State.
Yes.
I actually like Oregon State in that game. Give me the Beavers. I've been actually awful in our picks, but in my college football pick-em that I do weekly, I went 5-2 and 6-0. So I'm 11-2 in my college football picks. Not being dictated on who I have to pick, you know, week after week.
Yeah. So I got Oregon. All right, here you go. I threw it on there. I know they stink, but you got to pick it. It's Auburn at Alabama. It's a great rivalry game. You know, I don't know. Oregon, Auburn's been playing a little better. I'm not saying they're
world leaders.
They have been playing better. Cadillac Williams, I mean, he's got them buying in. So it's Alabama minus 22. I'm going to take Auburn to cover this. I think that they keep it close, but Alabama wins.
You know, I feel like all of Alabama's lines have been inflated. Give me Auburn. You know, you whenever you're getting three touchdowns in a rivalry game, you have to take the underdog there. You have to take the dog.
Yes. All right. Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Egg Bowl. Come on. Who doesn't like the Egg Bowl?
Egg Bowl. Wow.
It's Thanksgiving, 7 o'clock. You got some turkey in you. You sit down, you watch the Egg Bowl. You don't watch the Egg Bowl? I watch the Egg Bowl every year. I love it.
You have the Florida State Florida game on here. That's a Friday game too. So you almost have to.
We'll throw it on there then. I had it on and I took it off. I thought you were going to yell at me for that one.
No, hell no. That's a big Florida game.
Okay, so let's go. Mississippi State at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is kind of they've fallen off a little bit. You know, everybody overreacts when they started 7-0, but they're 8-3 now. Oh my God, Arkansas killed them 42-27. That wasn't even close. Mississippi State, I think with Leach, has been solid. You know, they're up and down, but that's what I expect from a Leach team. That, you know, Leach always does a good job. They're okay. So you got 8-3 Ole Miss, 7-4 Mississippi State. This is a huge game. Ole Miss is favored by 2.5. Got the updated spread for you. -2.5. Give me Ole Miss -2.5.
I'll take Mississippi State +2.5. I think they're the better team.
Yeah, it would not surprise me. So that's a good one. You know, I love that game, man. That's what I love about college football. You know, people want to poo-poo on the Egg Bowl. I'm not poo-pooing on the Egg Bowl. That's a fun game to watch. I watch it every year.
No, it is great because, you know, there's one NFL game on, so you have a college football game kind of flip back and forth on. There's actually three great NFL games that day, actually. So, you know, I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving, having some turkey and turducken, and be all good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Here we go. Notre Dame.
Woo!
The University of Southern California, Notre Dame, -5 USC. Go ahead. You go first.
No, no, no. Notre Dame's +5.
Yeah, I said USC. Okay, USC -5. If I said that wrong, I had it right on here. USC -5.
Oh, give me my Irish. I every time I've went against them, they've kind of went against me. So I'm going to go with the Irish, you know, +5. I think it opened up at 7. It's been bet down to 5. I honestly think Notre Dame might win this one outright. You know, I think their offensive line, their front seven defensively they're much better. You know, listen, quarterback play, it's not even close. But this is a game I think Notre Dame can win, and don't be surprised if Notre Dame wins by a touchdown or more.
Not so fast, my friend. I'm taking USC. USC's got the better quarterback. They're playing for more. Caleb Williams throws for 400 yards. They win by 7.
Okay.
All right, let's go. We're going to move the big game to the last. Florida at Florida State. Florida State is favored by 9.5.
Wow. Florida,
man. What about your Gators?
Wow, they stink. You know what's crazy is that, you know, I thought Florida had found something in that South Carolina game, and they just came out and let a complete egg, you know, against Vanderbilt. I mean, if you said Florida State was 9.5-point favorites against Florida last game of the season, coach, I mean, I don't think anybody would have believed.
So, like, Florida State's had, you know, Florida State started 4-0, then they lost 3 in a row to Wake Forest, NC State, and Clemson. I thought maybe the wheels fall off, but then they beat Georgia Tech. They beat Miami. They clobbered Miami. Then they killed Georgia Tech, killed Miami, killed Syracuse, and killed, you know, Louisiana stinks. They killed Louisiana. So they won 4 in a row, -9. I'm going to take Florida State. I think they're the better team. Florida's struggling. I can't get a read on them. Like, they're good 1 week. You know, they're bad the next week. They're just very up and down. Give me Florida State.
Give me Florida. You know, if anything, Florida's great at the they're great at scoring the last 2 minute, 1 minute touchdown, backdoor cover. I do think Florida's in Florida State, if this game was played midseason, it's probably more of a 1 to 2, 3 point spread. With Florida might maybe even be in favorite. You know, I still think there's something there with Florida. You know, 9.5, anything over 7, you know, I would probably take Florida. Give me Florida plus 9.5.
Okay. All right, now it's the game. Ohio State versus Michigan, the biggest rivalry in sports.
Is this a big game?
A little bit. Ohio State is favored. It just dropped. I just looked. It's -8 now. -8. Give me the Buckeyes. You've heard it before. They're winning by 14 points or more. CJ Stroud's going to put on a show. He's going to win the Heisman. Let's go, Bucks. We're going to win this game. We're going to show Michigan what it's all about. And we're going to take back the rivalry. Let's go.
Wow. You're not impartial, are you?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Man, I wish I knew if Corum was playing or not, because if I knew he was playing,
he's not good enough right now. He can't move. He can't move laterally. He's not going to play. If he does, he's going to be ineffective.
Is there more important?
Go with Edwards. Edwards is not a bad running back. Roll with Edwards. Trust your old line.
He was out last week though too. Is he going to be back?
I don't know. But that's a good question. I don't know.
I mean they were playing a freshman running back that. Sam Gash is remember Sam Gash is his son.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he looked small. I mean, he looked like a freshman. I've liked Michigan this whole season. Obviously they're banged up their most important position. Man, God dog it. I actually still like Michigan. You know, I'd like to probably see if one of those two guys play by Saturday.
So who are you picking? Don't hedge, but you're taking Michigan?
I think Michigan, yeah. And I don't even like them. I don't even know if the cover is – I think they either win, which I could see them winning more than probably losing by 3 to 6. I actually think special teams might come into play here, and I think Michigan's got the much, much better special teams. You know, they got probably their best field goal kicker in program history. Don't be surprised if this game comes down to a field goal to win it.
Okay. Well, we will find out, man. It is time this week. We will see. I'm gonna be so nervous. Even if
Michigan wins, I want a special podcast from Cancun to recap the game.
If Michigan wins, I don't know. I you don't want to know where I'm gonna be. Like, it would be devastating, you know. I think this game means so much for Ohio State. And it is. It means a lot. I just can't see them losing. I just can't. I think, you know, they have not played a good game. They have not played. Like, what's the best they played in? Second half Notre Dame, fourth quarter against Penn State.
The rest of
the year has been but they have not played their A game. If they play their A game, I really believe this, and you can call me a homer all you want. They play their A game, they can win a national championship. Will they? I don't know. They might not. They could lose Saturday, and then we'll go, oh, they should have played their A game. You're right. But if they play their A game, they can go win a national championship. I really believe that. Everybody, like I said, everybody said 14. Oh, it's all great. So, you know, they struggled at times at 14. It wasn't all pretty every week, you know. It wasn't pretty in 0-2. You know, you got to the game now, you win this, you win by 2 touchdowns, and let's go see what happens.
Yeah, I love Rivalry Saturday. This is one of the best football. This is like, you know, wild card, you know, weekend in the NFL. I mean, this day is awesome. You know, we didn't even talk about TCU plays Iowa State. Iowa State plays well against, you know, these type of games, underdogs, Matt Campbell coach. You know, I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of shakeups, you know, come Sunday morning.
Well, you know, we're going to find some coaches too. We're going to have some coaches coming, you know, so we should have that Saturday or Sunday. So we will see. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was a really long podcast, but it's like you get 2 weeks to listen to it because, you know, we're not going to be there next week. So thank our guest, Steve Navarroli. It was awesome. Brought some good perspective, and Jonah Booker did a great job. So we'll be back. When we get back, we'll know who won the Ohio State-Michigan game along with other games. The playoff, we'll get some playoff talk. And then after that, down the road, not that far, my favorite thing, early signing period's coming. So we got to talk recruiting. We got to get a recruiting expert on here. We could do a big bowl breakdown and then go. And then, you know, we'll take you all the way through the national championship game and then go from there. Okay, Clark?
Sounds good, Coach.
Thank you so much. That was awesome. I really appreciate everybody listening. People are listening, and I just really appreciate it. So we're going to keep doing this. We enjoy it a lot. And go Bucks! Let's go Bucks!